how ill it torment me. Balaam could not be contented to be damned himself, but also he must, by his wickedness, cause others to stumble and fall. The scribes and Pharisees could not be contented to keep out of heaven themselves, but they must labor to keep out others too. Therefore, theirs is the greater damnation. The deceived cannot be content to be deceived himself, but he must labor to deceive others also. The drunkard cannot be content to go to hell for his own sins, but he must labor to cause others to fall into the same furnace with him. But look to yourselves, for here will be damnation upon damnation, damned for thy own sins, and damned for thy being a partaker with others in their sins, and damned for being guilty of the damnation of others. Oh, how will the drunkards cry for leading their neighbors into drunkenness? How will the covetous person howl for setting his neighbor, his friend, his brother, his children and relations, so wicked an example, by which he hath not only wronged his own soul, but also the souls of others? The liar, by lying, learned others to lie. The swearer learned others to swear. The whoremonger learned others to whore. Now all these, with others of the like sort, will be guilty, not only of their own damnation, but also of the damnation of others. I tell you that some men have so much been the authors of the damnation of others, that I am ready to think that the damnation of them will trouble them as much as their own damnation. Some men, it is to be feared, the day of judgment, will be found to be the authors of destroying whole nations. How many souls do you think Balaam, with his deceit, will have to answer for? How many Mahomet? How many the Pharisees that hired the soldiers to say the disciples stole away Jesus? Matthew chapter 18, verses 11 through 15. And by that means stumbled their brethren to this day, and was one means of hindering them from believing the things of God and Jesus Christ, and so the cause of the damnation of their brethren to this very day. How many souls hath Bonner to answer for, think you, and several filthy blind priests? How many souls have they been the means of destroying by their ignorance and corrupt doctrine? Preaching, that was no better for their souls than rat's bane to the body, for filthy lucre's sake, O ye priests. This word is for you. They shall see that they, many of them it is to be feared, will have whole towns to answer for, whole cities to answer for. Ah, friend, I tell thee, thou that hast taken in hand to preach to the people, it may be thou hast taken in hand thou canst not tell what. Will it not grieve thee to see thy whole parish come bellowing after thee to hell, crying out, this we may thank thee for, which is long of thee. Thou didst not teach us the truth. Thou didst lead us away with fables. Thou wast afraid to tell us of our sins, lest we should not put meat fast enough in thy mouth. O cursed wretch, that ever thou shouldst beguile us thus, deceive us thus, flatter us thus. We would have gone out to hear the word abroad, but that thou didst reprove us, and also tell us that that which we see now is the way of God was heresy, and a deceivable doctrine, and wast not contented, blind guide as thou wert, to fall into the ditch thyself, but hast also led us thither with thee. I say, look to thyself, lest thou cry out when it is too late. Send Lazarus to my people, my friends, my children, my congregation to whom I preached and beguiled through my folly. Send him to the town in which I did preach last, lest I be the cause of their damnation. Send him to my friends from whence I came, lest I be made to answer for their souls and mine own too. Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 6. Oh, send him therefore, and let him tell them, and testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Consider this, ye that live thus in the world, while ye are in the land of the living, lest you fall into this condition. Set the case, thou shouldest by thy carriage destroy but a soul, but one poor soul, by one of thy carriages or actions, by thy sinful works, consider it now. I say, lest thou be forced to cry, I pray thee therefore that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. If so, then I shall not only say to the blind guides, Look you to yourselves, and shut not out others. No, but this doth reach unto all those that do not only keep souls from heaven by preaching and the like, but speaks forth the doom of those that shall any ways be instrumental to hinder others from closing in with Jesus Christ. Oh, what red lines will those be against all those rich, ungodly landlords that so keep their under their poor tenants that they dare not go out to hear the word for fear their rent should be raised, or they turned out of their houses. What sayest thou, landlord? Will it not cut thy soul when thou shalt see that thou couldst not be content to miss of heaven thyself, but thou must labor to hinder others also? Will it not give thee an eternal wound in thy heart, both at death and judgment, to be accused of the ruin of thy neighbor's soul, thy servant's soul, thy wife's soul, together with the ruin of thy own? Think on this, you drunken, proud, rich, and scornful landlords. Think on this, you mad-brained, blasphemous husbands that are against the godly and chaste conversation of your wives. Also, you that hold your servants so hard to it that you will not spare them time to hear the word, unless it be where and when your lusts will let you. If you love your own souls, your tenants' souls, your wives' souls, your servants' souls, your children's souls, if you would not cry, if you would not howl, if you would not bear the burden of the ruin of others forever, then I beseech you to consider this doleful story and labor to avoid the soul-killing torment that this poor wretch groaneth under when he saith, I pray thee, therefore, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify, Mark, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. These words have something still more in them than I have yet observed from them. There are one or two things more that I shall briefly touch upon, and therefore, Mark, he saith, that he may testify unto them, etc. Mark, I pray you, and take notice of the word, testify. He doth not say, and let him go unto them, or speak with, or tell them such and such things. No, but let him testify, or affirm it constantly, in case any should oppose it. Let him testify unto them. It is the same word the scripture uses to set forth the vehemency of Christ, telling of his disciples of him that should betray him. And he testified, saying, One of you shall betray me. And he testified, that is, he spake it so as to dash or overcome any that should have said it shall not be. It is a word that signifies that in case any should oppose the thing spoken of, yet that the party speaking should still continue constant in his saying. And he commanded them to preach and to testify, that is, that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To testify, Mark, that is to be constant, irresistible, undaunted, in case it should be opposed and objected against. So here, let him testify to them, lest they come into this place of torment. From whence observe, that it is not an easy matter to persuade them who are in their sins, alive in this world, that they must and shall be damned if they turn not and be converted to God. Let him testify to them. Let him speak confidently, though they frown upon him or dislike his way of speaking. And how is this truth verified and cleared by the carriages of almost all men now in the world toward them that do preach the gospel, and show their own miserable state plainly to them if they close not with it? If a man do but indeed labor to convince sinners of their sins and lost condition by nature, though they must be damned if they live and die in that condition, oh, how angry are they at it! Look how he judges, say they. Hark how he condemns us. He tells us we must be damned if we live and die in this state. We are offended at him. We cannot abide to hear him, or any such as he. We will believe none of them all, but go on in the way we are a-going. Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? Said the ungodly king to the prophet, when he told him of his sins. 2 Chronicles 25:16. I say, tell the drunkard he must be damned if he leaves not his drunkenness. The swearer, liar, cheater, thief, covetous, railers, or any ungodly persons, they must and shall lie in hell for it if they die in this condition. They will not believe you nor credit you. Again, tell others that there are many in hell that have lived and died in their conditions, and so are they like to be if they convert not to Jesus Christ and be found in him, or that there are others that are more civil and sober men who, although we know that their civility will not save them, if we do but tell them plainly of the emptiness and unprofitableness of that, as to the saving of their souls, and that God will not accept them, nor love them, notwithstanding these things, and that if they intend to be saved, they must be better provided than with such a righteousness as this. They will either fling away and come to hear no more, or else if they do come, they will bring such prejudice with them in their hearts that the word preached shall not profit them, it being mixed not with faith, but with prejudice in them that hear it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Nay, they will some of them be so full of anger that they will break out and call, even those that speak the truth, heretics, yea, and kill them. Luke chapter 4, verses 25 through 29. And why so? Because they tell them that if they live in their sins, that will damn them. Yet if they turn and live a righteous life according to the holy and just and good law of God, that will not save them. Yea, because we tell them plainly that unless they leave their sins and self-righteousness too, and close in with a naked Jesus Christ, his blood and merits, and what he hath done and is now doing for sinners, they cannot be saved. And unless they do eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, they have no life abiding in them. They grovel presently and are offended at it, as the Jews were with Christ for speaking the same thing to them. John chapter 6, verses 53 and 60. And fling away themselves, their souls and all, by quarreling against the doctrine of the Son of God, as indeed they do. Though they will not believe they do, and therefore he that is a preacher of the word had need not only tell them, but testify to them again and again that their sins, if they continue in them, will damn them, and damn them again. And tell them again, they're living honestly according to the law, they're paying everyone their own, they're living quietly with their neighbors, they're giving to the poor their notion of the gospel, and saying they do believe in Christ, will do them no good at the general day of judgment. Ha, friends, how many of you are there at this very day that have been told once and again of your lost, undone condition, because you want the right, real, and saving work of God upon your souls? I say, hath not this been told you, yea, testified unto you from time to time, that your state is miserable, that yet you are never the better, but do still stand where you did, some in an open ungodly life, and some drowned in a self-conceited holiness of Christianity? Therefore, for God's sake, if you love your souls, consider and beg of God for Jesus Christ's sake, that he would work such a work of grace in your hearts and give you such a faith in his Son Jesus Christ that you may not only have rest here as you think, not only think your state safe while you live here, but that you may be safe indeed, not only here, but also when you are gone, lest you do cry in the anguish and perplexity of your souls. Send one to my companions that have been beguiled by Satan as I have been, and so, by going on, come into this place of torment as I have done. Again, one thing more is to be observed from these words. Let him testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Mark, lest they come in. As if he had said, or else they will come into this place of torment as sure as I am here. From whence observe, that though some souls do for sin fall into the bottomless pit of hell before their fellows, because they depart this world before them, yet the other, abiding in the same course, are as sure to go to the same place as if they were there already. How so? Because that all are condemned together. They have all fallen under the same law, and have all offended the same justice, and must for certain, they die in that condition, drink as deep, if not deeper, of the same destruction. Mark, I pray you what the scriptures say. He that believeth not is condemned already. He is condemned as well as they, having broken the same law with them. If so, then what hinders but they will partake of the same destruction with them? Only the one hath not the law yet so executed upon them. Because they are here, the other have had the law executed upon them. They are gone to drink that which they have been brewing, and thou art brewing that in this life which thou must certainly drink. The same law, I say, is in force against you both, only he is executed, and thou art not. Just as if there were a company of prisoners at the bar, and all condemned to die. What, because they are not all executed in one day, therefore shall they not be executed at all? Yes, the same law that executed its severity upon the parties now deceased will for certain be executed on them that are alive in its appointed time. Even so is it here, or even so it is here. We are all condemned by nature. If we close not in with the grace of God by Jesus Christ, we must and shall be destroyed with the same destruction. And therefore, send him, saith he, lest, Mark, lest they also come into this place of torment. Again, send him to my father's house, and let him testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. As if he had said, it may be he may prevail with them, it may be he may win upon them, and so they may be kept from hence, from coming into this grievous place of torment. Observe again, that there is a possibility of obtaining mercy, if now I say, now in this day of grace, we turn from our sins to Jesus Christ. Yea, it is more than possible, and therefore, for thy encouragement, do thou know for certain that if thou shalt in this thy day, accept of mercy upon God's own terms, and close with him effectually, God hath promised, yea, made many promises, that thy soul shall be conducted safe to glory, and shall for certain escape all the evils that I have told thee of, aye, and many more than I can imagine. Do but search the scriptures and see how full of consolation they are to a poor soul that is minded to close in with Jesus Christ. Him that cometh to me, saith Christ, I will in no wise cast out. Though he be an old sinner, I will in no wise cast him out. Mark, in no wise. Though he be a great sinner, I will in no wise cast him out if he come to me, though he have slighted me never so many times, and not regarded the welfare of his own soul, yet let him now come to me, And notwithstanding this, I will in no wise cast him out, nor throw away his soul. John chapter 6, verse 37. Again saith the apostle, now, mark, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of their salvation. Now here is mercy and good store. Now God's heart is open to sinners. Now he will make you welcome. Now he will receive anybody if they do but come to Christ. He that cometh to me, saith Christ, I will in no wise cast out. And why? Because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. As if the apostle had said, if you will have mercy, have it now. Receive it now. Close in with it now. Continuing in A Few Sighs from Hell by John Bunyan, part 6. God hath a certain day to hold out his grace to sinners. Now is the time. Now is the day. It is true, there is a day of damnation, but this is a day of salvation. There is a day coming wherein sinners must cry to the mountains to fall on them, or to the hills to cover them from the wrath of God. But now is the day in which he doth hold out his grace. There is a day coming in which you will not be admitted to have the privilege of one drop of water to cool your tongue. If now, I say, if now you slight his grace and goodness which he holds out to you. Ah, friends, consider, there is now hopes of mercy, but then there will not. Now Christ holds forth mercy unto you, but then he will not. Matthew 7, verse 23. Now there are his servants that do beseech you to accept of his grace. But if thou lose the opportunity that is put into thine hand, thou thyself mayest beseech hereafter, and no mercy be given thee. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. And thee was none given. Therefore, let it never be said of thee, as it will be said of some. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool, seeing he hath no heart to it? Seeing he hath no heart to make a good use of it. Proverbs 17, verse 16. Consider therefore with thyself and say, it is better going to heaven than hell. It is better to be saved than damned. It is better to be with saints than with damned souls. And to go to God is better than to go to the devil. Therefore, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Lest in thy trouble he leave thee to thyself, and say unto thee plainly, where I am, thither ye cannot come. John chapter 8, verse 21. Oh, if they that are in hell might now again have one such invitation as this, how would they leap for joy? I have thought sometimes, should God send but one of his ministers to the damned in hell, and give him commission to preach the free love of God in Christ extended to them, and held out to them, if now, while it is pro-offered to them, they will accept of his kindness, oh, how welcome would they make this news, and close in with it on any terms. Certainly they would say, we will accept of grace on any terms in the world, and thank you too, though it cost life and limbs to boot, we will spare no cost nor charge if mercy may be had. But poor souls, while they live here, they will not part from sin, with hell-bred devilish sin. No, they would rather lose their souls than lose their filthy sins. But friend, thou wilt change thy note before it be long, and cry, O simple wretch that I am, that I should damn my soul by sin. It is true, I have had the gospel preached to me, and have been invited in. I have been preached to, and have been warned of this, but how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the words of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. Proverbs 5, verses 12 and 13. Oh, therefore I say, poor soul, is there hope? Then lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and kiss the dust, and close in with the Lord Jesus Christ, and make much of his glorious mercy. And invite also thy companions to close in with the same Lord Jesus Christ, lest one of you do go to hell beforehand, and expect with grief of heart of your companions to come after. And in the meantime, with anguish of heart, do sigh and say, O, send him to my companions, and let him testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Use and application of the preceding portion of the parable. Now then, from what hath been said, there might many things be spoken by way of use and application, but I shall be very brief, and but touch some things, and so wind up. And first, I shall begin with the sad condition of those that die out of Christ, and speak something to that. Secondly, to the latter end of the parable, which more evidently concerns the Scripture, and speak somewhat to that. First, I shall begin with the sad condition of those that die out of Christ. Number 1. Therefore you see that the former part of the parable contains a sad declaration of the state of one living and dying out of Christ, how that they lose heaven for hell, God for the devil, light for darkness, joy for sorrow. Number 2. How they have not so much as the least comfort from God, who in the time they live here below neglect coming to him for mercy, not so much as one drop of cold water. Number 3. That such souls will repent of their folly, when repentance will do them no good, or when they shall be past recovery. Number 4. That all the comfort such souls are like to have, they have it in this world. Number 5. That all their groanings and sighs will not move God to mitigate in the least his heavy hand of vengeance that is upon them, for the transgression they have committed against him. Number 6. That their sad state is irrecoverable, or they must never, mark, never come out of that condition. Number 7. Their desires will not be hard for their ungodly neighbors. From these things, then, I pray you consider the state of those that die out of Christ Jesus. Yea, I say, consider their miserable state, and think thus with thyself. Well, if I neglect coming to Christ, I must go to the devil, and he will not neglect to fetch me away into those intolerable torments. Think thus with myself. What, shall I lose a long heaven for a short pleasure? Shall I buy the pleasures of this world at so dear a rate as to lose my soul for the obtaining of that? Shall I content myself with heaven that will last no longer than my lifetime? What advantage will these be to me when the Lord shall separate soul and body asunder, and send one to the grave, the other to hell, and at judgment day the final sentence of eternal ruin must be passed upon me? Number 1. Consider that the profits, pleasures, and vanities of this world will not last forever, but the time is coming, yea, just at the doors, when they will give thee the slip, and leave thee in the suds, and in the brambles of all that thou hast done. And therefore, to prevent this, number 2, consider thy dismal state. Think thus with thyself, is it true? It is true. I do love my sins, my lusts and pleasures. But what good will they do me at the day of death and judgment? Will my sins do me good then? Will they be able to help me when I come to fetch my last breath? What good will my profits do me? And what good will my vanities do when death says he will have no? Nay, what good will all my companions, fellow jesters, jeerers, liars, drunkards, and all my wantons do me? Will they help to ease the pains of hell? Will these help to turn the hand of God from inflicting his fierce anger upon me? Nay. Will not they rather cause God to show me no mercy, to give me no comfort, but rather to thrust me down in the hottest place of hell, where I may swim in fire and brimstone?
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary, Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.